Service safe.
Hello, Buzz Killers. It's the old professor here with your mini myth for the week. It's Halloween week, and I've got a great couple of myths to bust for you about Halloween. Think about that horror movie, Halloween 2. Early in that movie, a kid's shown being admitted to a hospital emergency room, razor blade stuck in his gums. It's gruesome, and it reminds us of all the warnings we heard about sickos putting sharp objects into Halloween candy. The third installment of the Halloween franchise, cleverly named Halloween 3, includes references to Samhain, quote, the Celtic god of the dead, as the demonic originator of modern Halloween. Now, this chimes in with stories told with glee by Neil Goss on the one hand, and with condemnation by hardcore Christians on the other hand. Both of these stories, Buzzkillers, Dangerous Candy and Celtic Demons, have only tenuous connections to the truth. But buzz killing them teaches us a great deal about the history of Halloween and about why urban legends spread. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for these urban legends and the historical urban legends. Now, you know what's going to happen this week, buzz killers. The internet's going to be full of, quote, five myths about Halloween clickbait posts. But only the old professor can give you something worth thinking about. So let's start with the origin myths. Pre-Christian Europeans are both credited and condemned for creating Halloween. Shallow, prejudiced interpretations of Celtic stories from Ireland and Britain generally take the following form. Halloween was a pre-Christian, that is pagan, celebration of Samhain, the Celtic god of the dead. Samhain's followers, or devil worshippers, would practice, you know, a sort of door-to-door terrorism, demanding food for their god and killing people who didn't oblige. Sometimes druids are involved, depending on where you get the story from, and sometimes pumpkins or turnips were used to mark the houses that had already been trick-or-treated in this demonic way. Radical fundamentalist Christians like Jack Chick and David Brown have pushed these stories and added the idea that proto-Christians were the ones who were terrorized and killed. You know what I'm going to say, buzzkillers. These tales have no real historical basis. And they completely leave out the fact that modern Halloween is a blend of pre-Christian, Celtic, and early Christian practices. And that none of those practices involve devils. First of all, Samhain was not the Celtic god of the dead. Samhain was the word for a season, a Celtic season, which is basically autumn. It was also used as the name for a Celtic festival in late October, early November, that marked the end of summer, the end of the harvest. So it's a period of time, not a god of the dead. It was a time also when fairies and spirits could come back into the human world, and the souls of the dead could come back and visit their homes, and food was left out for them. Food being left out, this was the start of that kind of tradition. Christianity arrived in Britain and Ireland in the 400s and 500s and started to take hold. People started to convert, and it started to influence these Samhain traditions. Now, how did this happen? By the early 700s, many churches in Ireland and in Britain started observing All Hallows Day on November 1st. Now, that was a celebration of the departed saints, the, quote, hallowed, right? Most scholars believe that Samhain traditions and practices were more or less seamlessly woven into the All Hallows Day observances. Now, this transition, this sort of blending of holidays, blending of practices, this took place over a number of decades. In fact, it took place over centuries. And the two holidays almost certainly merged together easily over time because people were converting to Christianity. Over the next 1,000 years, All Hallows Eve, that's the day before All Hallows Day, started to be celebrated. And it was celebrated in lots of different ways. These celebrations sometimes involved representing and praying for departed souls, especially those who were in purgatory waiting to get to heaven. Sometimes people dressed up in various guises representing these departed souls. They went from house to house. They asked for food for their journey from purgatory to heaven. But remember, these were representations of departed Christian souls, not representations of demons or devils from hell. So the idea that Halloween started as a demonic holiday, either as a pre-Christian Celtic demonic holiday or as an early Christian demonic holiday, that idea is just nuts. Now, of course, as the centuries rolled on, Halloween changed and developed like everything else does over time. Let's jump ahead to the Protestant Reformation. In the 1500s, many early Protestants stripped Halloween of what they saw as overly Catholic, overly popish doctrines, such as the idea of purgatory, right? Other Protestants created their own version of purgatory. Some of them called it Hades. Some of them called it the intermediate state. Some of them called it the bosom of Abraham. And they kept that sort of traditional Halloween practice of people going from door to door asking for food for the trip from purgatory to heaven. Only a tiny sliver of Protestant groups argued that the souls of Halloween were evil spirits, but there were so few of these folks that they were just more or less ignored. Just as Halloween had developed in all sorts of ways in the previous centuries, since the Reformation, Halloween customs were modified over those centuries, and they included new things like pranks and tricks and other stuff that went along with wearing of masks, right? Now, like all holidays, Halloween, since the 1700s, if you will, has had its ups and downs in popularity and went in and out of fashion over these centuries. But by the 20th century, it took its relatively secular form that we know today and became mostly a holiday for children. Now, buzzkillers, cut to the late 20th century, and suddenly those very children were under threat during Halloween when they were trick-or-treating. Stories spread across the United States that psychopaths were sticking pins and razor blades into Halloween candy. Children were being maimed after biting into these booby-trap treats. Hospitals offered to x-ray bags of Halloween candy. Parents cut up the treats looking for pins and razors. There were even stories of candy being poisoned, chemically poisoned. But again, you know what I'm going to say. Like all the myths we study at the Buzzkill Institute, these stories almost never have a basis in fact. Actual cases of candy tampering are extremely rare, almost to the point of statistical insignificance, given how many millions of people hand out Halloween candy every year. But back in 1959, a California dentist gave out candy-coated laxatives to children. Now stop giggling. This is what he did. But he was caught and he was convicted of endangering children and dispensing drugs illegally. No children were seriously harmed. In 1964, a New York woman gave out inedible objects to children she thought were too old to trick or treat. Now, I remember doing this. I went trick or treating when I was 16 because I was an idiot, and a couple friends of mine I thought would be funny. But anyway, the things that she gave were like steel wool, dog biscuits, so no one was stupid enough to eat them, but she too was convicted of endangering children. Since then, the only case of a child dying from eating adulterated Halloween candy was the tragic story of a Texas boy whose own father poisoned one of his pixie sticks. The father wanted to collect on the boy's life insurance, and so he poisoned his own son's candy. And he gave out other poisoned pixie sticks to other kids during the trick-or-treating to, you know, kind of spread out the crime, if you will, and make it look like there was some sicko doing this. But the other kids didn't consume the pixie sticks. No one else was hurt except this one poor boy. So what I'm trying to tell you, buzzkillers, is that the only child who's ever died from adulterated Halloween candy was killed by a family member, not by a stranger. These two big evil myths, the pre-Christian demons and the modern candy tampering, have become pervasive in American culture. Many fundamentalist Christians refuse to observe Halloween because they think it's satanic. Satanic, buzzkillers. has nothing to do, had nothing, never had anything to do with Satan. It always had to do with departed Christian souls. But it doesn't matter how often you say that or how often you prove it, they still believe it. And of course, nowadays, some parents go to extremes in examining their children's trick-or-treat candy. Buzz killers both myths spread across the country for the same basic reasons. It only takes a few tweaks of ancient Celtic stories to make them sound demonic and essentially anti-Christian. Departed souls is easily changed to demonic souls. And the word pagan, for goodness sake, has long been misinterpreted as anti-Christian rather than pre-Christian. Similarly, candy tampering is an easily spread myth. It chimes in, as I said before, with this paranoia about psychos and perverts around every corner. And like other urban legends, the stories are always vague, they're always anecdotal, and they always take place in another town, the next town over, the next neighborhood over. No one ever has stories about something happening either to them or to someone they directly know. Like every other urban legend, the candy tampering story falls apart under serious investigation. So chill out, buzzkillers. Enjoy Halloween, secure in the knowledge that you're not a demonic paganist threatening the foundations of Christianity, and that you can revert to your Snickers binging childhood razor blade free. Talk to you next week.